Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ.
And also to you,
Pastor. Amen.
Sorry, I stole your Bible there.
No, that's okay. I got my own.
All right.
We changed the lesson because it's Confirmation Sunday, and we'll be back in Luke next week. All right? But this is also one of my favorite texts, chapter 15 of John. It talks about what it means to be a Christian and our intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Obviously, I'm not going to go through verse by verse. There's about 20 sermons or more in these 17 verses, and I'm not going to preach all 20 sermons today, so praise be to God. Amen. So I'm going to point out some of the things I wanted to point out to our confirmants today, okay? Verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We were created to live in a relationship with God, and we see that from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them. So that means that they were talking with God. They were right there with God. They were living in a relationship. This is God. This is Adam and Eve, okay? They were living in a relationship like this where God could talk to them, they could hear Him, they could communicate with Him. No barriers, okay? Now, what has happened is, as we know, Adam and Eve decided they didn't want to do that anymore. All right? So I have my two hands together now. The one hand separates. That's us. And we decided we didn't need God. Now we're in a terrible spot, right? How can we get back to God? We cannot, right? So God, in His infinite love and mercy, sent His Son, Jesus, to restore us back into a relationship with Him, okay? That's what Christianity is about. It's about Jesus coming and restoring us back into the original relationship that God had intended for us. So Jesus has made this possible for us to live back in this relationship. I was reading Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 16 in The Message, which is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. And it really does a great job of defining this relationship we have. He writes, "You know the story of how Adam landed us in the dilemma we're in. First sin, then death, and no one exempt from either sin or death. That sin disturbed relations with God and everything and everyone. But the extent of this disturbance was not clear until God spelled it out in detail to Moses. So death, this huge abyss separating us from God, dominated the landscape from Adam to Moses. Even those who didn't sin precisely as Adam did, by disobeying a specific command of God, still had to experience this termination of life, this separation from God. But Adam, who got us into this, also points ahead to the one who will get us out of it. Yet the rescuing gift is not exactly parallel to the death-dealing sin. If one man's sin puts crowds of people at the dead-end abyss of separation from God, just think what God's gift poured through one man, Jesus Christ, will do. There's no comparison between that death-dealing sin and this generous, life-giving gift. The verdict on that one sin was the death sentence. The verdict on the many sins that followed was this wonderful life sentence. If death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing, can you imagine the breathtaking recovery life makes, sovereign life, in those who grasp with both hands this wildly extravagant life gift, this grand setting everything right that the one man, Jesus Christ, provides?" Wow. Put very well, right? So Jesus restores us back into this relationship with God, right? So who wants to grasp this relationship, this life gift, with both hands? Alrighty. I said that in the jail yesterday, and everybody was kind of... They didn't know how to respond. It must have been my Spanish, okay? So So, what are you laughing about? Is your Spanish any better? Okay. Verse 6. You know what's funny? I got to share this. This is off the subject, but there's one guy, Luis, who sings wonderful, and he goes to Spanish and English service, and he speaks great English, you know. So I just assumed that he could read English. And he said, I want to read the gospel in English. So I said, okay. He gets up there, and he struggles just like I do in Spanish, you know. And I said, and the guys all gave him a round of applause when he was done, okay, which I thought was great. But I said, now you know what it's like. Okay. So verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. What happens if people refuse to live in a relationship with Jesus? They're going to die. And the second death also, right? John verse 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we're not restored into that relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, then we're headed towards hell, all right? Is God being unfair by sending people to hell?
No, we make our own choice.
Very good. Deuteronomy 30:19. This day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. And you remember last week I said Jesus pleads for us. And I think the Father pleads with us also. He says, choose life. Time and time again in the Old Testament, he's saying, choose life. And somehow we just don't get it. So we're all going to live forever. But where we live is our choice. Like Donna was saying, we all have a choice. And now, one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis. He writes, nature is mortal. We shall outlive her. Just think about that. We're going to outlive all this, okay? When all the suns and nebulae have passed away, each one of you will still be alive. It is a serious thing to live in society of possible gods and goddesses. To remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long we are in some degree helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with awe and the circumspection proper to them, that we should conduct all our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. Just think about that. Civilizations, like Rome, like the United States, okay? Those civilizations are like the life of a gnat compared to us. Wow. Okay? But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. Very powerful words. And just think about this, okay? Imagine if you could get a saint, okay? Like Bruce, okay? Say in the future, okay, when Bruce passes away, and get the Bruce from the future who's in heaven and bring him here. And the splendor and radiance would be so much we'd want to worship him because we think he's a god. Okay? Don't let that go to your head, Bruce.
We'll make sure it doesn't.
But that's the same for all of us who are in Christ, for all Christians, right? Boy, imagine if we could do that, Pastor. Talk about evangelism, right? But look at the flip side. Imagine someone who's gone to hell, if you brought them here and stood them up in front of the congregation, it'd be worse than your worst nightmare to imagine that, okay? Once again, imagine the evangelism, Pastor, okay? Once again, these are things we're not allowed to talk about, okay? And C.S. Lewis brought it out so vividly. We're all going to live longer than anything, okay? this building we're in right now, we'll be living centuries and centuries beyond this, all right? When it turns to dust, okay? And we can either be a whore or something splendorous, all right? Gives you really some soul food. I don't know about you, but for me, I will live in heaven with Jesus forever, and I want to take as many people with me as possible. That's my goal in life, to take as many people with me as possible. Verse 14, and I simplified this. You are my friends if you do what I command. This is what Jesus said. We are Jesus' friends, but we are called to obey Jesus' teaching. Which teaching? All of them, right? All of them. All of them, including the Ten Commandments, right? Because didn't Jesus write the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. Before he was here on earth, he was the Son of God. He wrote those in stone, okay? And you'll say, but don't we just have to love God and love others, Pastor? And people use that to just muddy the waters, okay? Because they're really not doing either, okay? None of us either do any of those completely, okay? Yes, we are. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our mind. And we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. But the Ten Commandments show us how to do that. And it's part of Jesus' teaching. And they show us the best way to live. If you live according to the Ten Commandments, are you going to have a better life or a worse life? You're going to have a much better life, right? Matthew 5, Jesus said, do you think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets? I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So until Jesus returns, we're to obey all of his teachings, right? Are some commandments more important than others? Out of the Ten Commandments? They're all important, right? But what do we hear in society? Well, I've never killed anybody. I'm basically a good person. Is that the only commandment that's important? And first of all, isn't that a lie to say I haven't killed anybody? When we gossip, we kill people, right? So it's like a double lie they're saying, okay? It shows their blindness, okay? But isn't that what our society says, okay? And I said the forgotten third commandment, but there's actually the forgotten nine, right? Because other than that, people feel, I haven't killed anybody. I'm not a murderer, so I'm going to go to heaven. Yeah. Really?
There's more than that.
You keep one out of ten commandments?
Yeah.
You wouldn't even get a job in the major leagues with that.
Yeah.
You know, batting 100. I mean, no way, okay? But do you see what our society's done? Okay?
It's a lie.
It's all a lie. But I said the forgotten third commandment. What is the third commandment? That's why it's forgotten. Remember to keep holy the Lord's day. That's a forgotten commandment, right? Well, I haven't killed anybody. You're not in church on Sundays. Oh, well, that's not important. Well, why did God write it in stone then? How about this one, the fourth commandment? What's the fourth commandment? Honor your father and mother. Okay. You don't have to do that as long as you don't kill anybody, right? Do you see how twisted it is? Exactly. It's the family's falling apart. Now, I'm going to say this. We're called to live in a relationship with Jesus and obey all of his teachings. We cannot keep all the commandments. However, when we live in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're going to strive to keep them. Not because we're afraid of judgment, but because we love Jesus and what He's done for us. And in response to His love, we live to please Him. Okay? So that's why we keep the Ten Commandments. All right? At the same time, if we're living in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit in us, do you think it's going to be easier to keep the commandments? Yes. And when we sin and we break a commandment, do we have forgiveness? It's if we repent, but if we're in this relationship with Jesus, okay? Because we all sin every day, right? But do you see what living in that relationship with Jesus Christ does? All right? So I want to emphasize to you the importance of the commandment, but even more so living in a relationship with Jesus. And when you live in that relationship with Jesus, you keep the commandments because you love Him. That's what it's about, okay? It's not about trying to live the Ten Commandments so you don't go to hell, all right? It's living in a relationship with Him and living to please Him. Amen? I'm going to finish with some words of Charles Spurgeon. He writes, "Cast away all other confidence as mere vanities that will delude you. Away with them. Trust in nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. His person, His work, His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His glorious pleading before the throne of God for sinners such as we are. Ah, when you come to die, you who are strong and you who are depressed will be very much alike in this matter. Look to the wounds of Christ. They will heal your wounds. Look to the death of Christ. It will be the death of your doubts. Look to the life of Christ. It shall be the life of your hopes. Look to the glory of Christ. It shall be the glory of your souls here and the glory of your souls forever and ever. May God add His blessing and bring many of His captive ones out of prison. This shall be to His eternal praise. Amen." So, will you trust in the Lord Jesus starting today? Will you grasp Him with both hands? And before we pray, I have Pastor Perry lead us in a prayer for this. There's many times, and I think most of us know it here, when there's nothing you can do but hang on to Jesus. There's times you have to just hang on to Jesus for all your worth. Because you feel like your life is completely caved in. And we've all been there, right? And where would we be without Him, right? So today, no matter where we're at, we're going to reach out to Jesus and grab Him with both hands. Pastor, you want to lead us in prayer? Oh, okay. Amen. Well, let us pray. Lord Jesus, You're so awesome. We thank You for amazing grace. We thank You for the truth that we are saved by Your grace through faith and not by anything we do. It's a good thing for that because we fail and we fall so much. But Lord, as these powerful words remind us, Lord Jesus, during communion today and other times, may we look to Your wounds to heal us. May we look to Your death to kill the unbelief and doubt in our hearts and the sin in our lives. And may we look to Your life, Your resurrected life, to give us new life. Lord, we ask that You would help us and help those that aren't here that are so lost, that have become lost, that used to be on fire for You and cold-hearted. We pray for them, Lord, that You would reach out to them with Your strong arms and strong hands and Your great heart of love. And Your shepherd's heart, Lord, reach out to them and touch them. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit and Your angels whisper into their ears, into the depths of their soul, come back to Me, or come to Me. Help them in the middle of all the voices to hear Your still small voice. Assure them when they feel depressed and hopeless and weak and feel like giving up, or they're so far from You they think they can't come back. May we continue to be a beacon, a lighthouse of love and grace, and of Your word, Lord, in Your mercy.
on this confirmation day. Actually, we're starting to call it more youth discipleship and disciples, because you call us in this text to be followers of you, not members of a church, but connected intimately with you, Jesus, and thereby bear much fruit. Help us to remember that without you, we are nothing, and we can do absolutely nothing. But with you, we have your love, we have your joy, and we have that wonderful connection that we feel in worship when we are connected, when heaven and earth come together through you, Jesus, and you bring us to the Father. And what a glorious time it is when heaven and earth come together in the communion of saints. So knowing that we're called to recommit our lives, Lord, we ask that you would help us once again to recommit and to reaccept Jesus, the Son of God, who died for our sins and rose from the dead, to be our Lord and Savior. Help us to strive to live an intimate relationship with Jesus, relying on Him and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Help us to once again intend and recommit to live in Christ and for Christ, reaching out in love to bring all people to Jesus so that none will perish. Help us to once again promise to continue to grow in Christ through use of your word and prayer and engaging in worship and living in fellowship, dynamic fellowship with Jesus and the church. Help us to seek all the time to be filled again and again by your Holy Spirit and use the gifts of God, of the Spirit, for the glory of others, not for us. And so, Lord, we come before you. And Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in us the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm our faith. Guide our lives. Empower us in our serving. Give us patience in suffering. And bring us all, every one of us, to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that you do hear our prayers, that you're right here with us. You're in us, and we are in you. We pray for our disciples that would be confirming their faith today, Lord. Keep them in the faith. Keep them close to you, Lord. In the middle of all the turmoil of this world, we pray for the lambs, for your lambs, Lord, that they would not be led astray, and that we would do all we can to keep them close to you, Jesus. So protect them and guide them and guard them, protect them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.